Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast. Today we have a super science interview with Rhian Thain. Rhian Thain writes one of my favorite sweet women's fiction light romance stories. There is a bit of a family story tied together along with a romantic plot. They're kind of like really fun books to read if you want to just feel the emotional depth. In this episode, we're going to talk about Rhian, about her latest Christmas romance, Snow Kiss, which is a single mom who's looking for a fake day for a wedding, and the perfect guy swoops her in, and it's just sweet and fun and just joyful. In addition, I'm actually airing a previous interview with Rhian, so you'll hear more about her plotting process, her process of writing multiple romances year-round. So she's read Christmas and summer books. She has a writing sample. She talks about how writing Christmas at the right time, as well as some book recommendations. We have double book recommendations. You'll have book recommendations from 2025, as well as her previous interview from 2024. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hi, Rhian. Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast.
Hi, it's great to see you.
So great to have you back. You've been a frequent guest, and I love talking to you, especially during the holiday season, because you keep us fed and happy with holiday books. I know you have your summer books, but the holiday books are like they're dear in my heart. So what have you been up to since we last talked?
So I just finished next summer's book, and I'm starting up next Christmas book. And it just is an ongoing cycle. You finish one, you start the next one. It's mostly been writing. We did a little bit of travel as a family this summer, and that was super fun. We haven't done a lot of travel for the last few years, but so
yeah,
that was fun too.
Oh, that's so fun. So let's talk about Snow Kiss, which is your Christmas book. It's available from, I listened to the audio, actually, and it was delightful. I have to tell you. My Hoopla actually had it, but you can also find it on Libby if you're looking for library, or you can borrow it from Spotify or Audible, and there's many places for the audio, but there's also the ebook and paperback and all the fun stuff. So talk to us. What is the elevator pitch?
The elevator pitch for this book is a single mom, Holly Moore, dedicated single mom and florist in Shelter Springs, Idaho, navigates family, love, and holiday magic as she grapples with her ex and her new connection with injured Navy pilot Ryan, discovering that healing and love often come when least expected. So yeah, that's basically the story. She's a single mom. She's got a child with special needs. She needs a date for a wedding. And Ryan moves into town unexpectedly and sparks fly, and he's the perfect one to take her to this wedding.
Yes. And it's just like, well, better can you ask for Christmas, a winter wedding, a fake date or a date for a wedding, and then just like trying to have a new lease on life and then still dealing with the baggage of the whole to actually heal it. So,
And I've written about 80 books, almost 80 books. And I think it was the very first fake dating trope I've ever used. And it was so much fun. I've done this before. I loved that whole concept that he just stepped in and rescued her. She needed help. He stepped in. And I just loved that.
Yes. I hope that you write more fake dating. Maybe in a few books. It's like, let's just fake date them. Because you know they're going to get feelings. It's like such a fun thing for an author. Because the characters are denying their feelings. They're denying the attraction. They're denying the feelings are growing. And then as an author is like, actually, I'm going to make sure you understand that it is true. It is not fake. There's no end date or there's no one expiration time. It is you're going to come face to face your fears and you're going to fall in love.
Exactly.
Yes. So, all right. So let's talk more of the Christmas book. Let's talk about some other Christmas books you may have on your back list that you may remember if you wanted to talk about some of them. If you have any specific ones you want to share. I see a couple ones. Did the Summer Market. I see the Christmas.
Christmas at the Shelter Inn. So Snow Kiss is actually the third book in a Christmas only series that I've been doing every year. I've had a new book in the series. It started two years ago, I guess, with Christmas at the Shelter Inn. That's the first story of the series. And the second one was last year, was the December Market. And then Snow Kissed is the third one. And they're standalone stories. But I think if you read all three of them, you sort of get a more context for the characters in the town. And I introduced Holly in the very first book. She was just a twin sister. She has a twin sister and they were good friends with the heroines of the first two books. And I knew I was going to write her story someday, but I wasn't quite sure what her story was at that point. But yeah, so that I like writing connected Christmas stories because I think my readers love connected stories. They like going back and revisiting communities and seeing hero and heroines that they've met before, finding out where they are in their life. And but I like the fact that it could be a standalone. If you haven't read the other two, you're fine to read this one. Yes. You totally get it.
I love this. So you guys, you have three books to read, and there's plenty of more because Rianne writes Christmas and summer. So yes. if you're actually taking a beach vacation during this holiday season, you can pick some of her summer books. They're just as delightful and they're awesome to do. So
right. Yeah, I think this was like my 21st or 22nd Christmas book. So there's a lot. If you're into Christmas books, if you like warm, cozy Hallmark movie kind of Christmas books, I've got a whole backlist. You can find them on my website.
Like if you're a Virgin River fan, like these are like in the Netflix book, like Netflix show, like these are good companion. Like these are kind of like a good entryway to get the book form version.
Right.
You know, I agree. There's like military, some of them have, some of them are healing, a little bit of like emotional depth. And it just gives you, and you get the community aspect of it. So I think they're like the perfect entry. If you're watching Virgin River, these are books for you.
That's very nice comparison. I'll take a comparison to Robin Carr anytime I can.
Yes. Yes. So, all right. So let's talk some book recommendations. What have you been reading lately?
So lately, I've actually sort of been delving a little bit outside the genre. Excuse me. I've had a cold in the last week. My voice is coming in and out. I really liked The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches by Sangu Mandana. And I thought it was such a great story about magical realism. And there were great characters, really compelling storyline. And I especially love the characters. I just fell for every character in that story. And so I recommend that one. And then another one that I really enjoyed lately was The Nature of Fragile Things by Susan Meisner, which is a historical set around the San Francisco Great Earthquake. There's a lot of trigger warnings because there's some DV in it and other things, but I really enjoyed that book and delving into that period of time that I didn't know a lot about. And on a nonfiction side, I recently read How to Know a Person by David Brooks, and I just thought that was so fascinating. It was a gripping perspective about how to see into the heart of a person, how to really see beyond the surface that all of us put on, the facade that all of us put on, so that you can, that people know you care about them when you actually demonstrate that you love, that you know them and understand them. So anyway, three recommendations. Yeah.
These are great recommendations. I just re-listened to Sengu's interview. She came to the show for the first book, her first adult book. And so I'm actually re-airing it because the second book is even better. And people, you're not the only one. There's multiple authors and across genre who have raved about this book. It's so cozy. It's like such a balm to your like day.
Right.
Like it's just a good escape because the world's terrible. We need this kind of content. And so I'm re-airing the interview and I'll just make sure like link it to this one. Like, man, just recommended this. Like it's a cross board. But I think like thank you for writing your books. Thank you for writing books that are actually give you emotional depth, but they're also cozy and calming and they're not triggering in a sense. And I think it's in this world where we are just going through a lot, it's kind of like a good escape to have. So
I appreciate that. And that's actually what I try to do when I sit down to write, because like you said, we are going through a tough time right now in our world. And I like to remind people that we need to be kind to each other. And that's basically the point of my books. They're about community. They're about caring for each other. They're about lifting each other. And I hope that maybe it makes a tiny difference in whatever world that my readers are in. But I just like reminding people that kindness is so important in this world.
Awesome. Well, Rianne, tell us where you can find you online. And
okay. So my website is RianneThane.com. It's lots of E's are in my name, lots of vowels, I tell people. And then I'm on Facebook a lot. It's author Rianne Thane. I'm on Instagram at Rianne Thane, TikTok a little bit here and there. But basically, that's where you find me.
Awesome. Thank you, Rianne, for showing up, talking about your new book and new book recommendations for listeners. We're going to continue listening to an older interview with Rianne so you get to hear more recommendations and more books for you to pick up for your TBR. Thank you, Rianne, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you.
Hi, Rianne. Welcome to What's Your Next Podcast.
Hi, I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I am so happy to chat with you. I have a group of friends who love your small town romances, and we're a fan of yours since like 2017.
Oh, wow.
Romance 2016. So it's like you were like early romance. I'm like, oh my gosh, these are like my books. They're just like my comfort small town romances, a little bit of Hallmark, a little bit of everything. This gets sucked. So
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, there's some early episodes where we talked about your series. So I'm very excited to chat with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us, like, what kind of books do you tend to write and all the fun stuff.
Sure. Well, I'm Rhianne Thane. I have been writing for a long time. I sold my first book in 95. So,
oh my gosh.
And I finished my 76th last week. So,
Oh my gosh. For a while.
So lots of backlist books for people to read if they're just discovering me. But yeah. I've been writing I've done kind of a little of everything in my career. I wrote quite a lot of romantic suspense when I was first starting out. A lot of my early books, I did about 30 or 35 romantic suspense. But since then, I've been writing mostly community, feel good, small town. I call them uplit reads. They make you feel good at the end of them. There's not a lot of, I mean, there's drama and there's tension and everything, but there's not a lot of tragedy in my books. Yeah. In the back history, there is, but not on the page, usually when I'm writing. I want people to close the book and feel like they had a happy experience and they like being in the community. I really try to hard to write communities about people that care about each other, that work hard to make their world a better place and work together to solve problems and things like that. Those are the kind of stories I write. And of course, there's romance involved. I love writing romances. For about the last 5 or 6 years, I've been doing a little more women's fiction once a year, and then I do a Christmas romance. So my summer books are typically a little more women's fiction-y, on the border between romance and women's fiction. There's definitely romance in them, but there's a few deeper issues. It's relationships between sisters and mothers and children and things like that. So, but always a romance because that's my base and that's what I love.
That's your love. So talk to us about like how to get started. So women's fiction, where your summer romance was like, or summer women's fiction, your summer releases tend to be more women's fiction, entry point to romance a little bit. There's more depth in the issues. Readers can get started? Like, do you have like one or two entry points that you would say like, you should turn right here and then go down this rabbit hole, or?
Sure. Well, if you're looking for my women's fiction, they're really all standalone books. I had five of them that are set in the same place, but the characters don't intersect at all. So it's not like you have to read the first one to understand what's going on in the next one. It's just, they're just connected by geography because I created a place that I liked and I liked writing there. And I had a lot of story ideas for that place. Yeah. And so that's Cape Sanctuary book. So the first one of those, if you want them in order, it was The Cliff House. It was The Sea Glass Cottage. It was, I'm going to run out. I'm going to not get them right. Anyway, Summer at the Cape is one of them. The Path to Sunshine Cove is one of them. And then The Cafe at Beach End is one of them. And then this year I had a new one out. They can start there if they want. That's not related at all to Cape Sanctuary. It's set in a little fictional small town in Idaho, sort of roughly based on Sun Valley. It's called 15 Summers Later. If they want my strict romance kind of series, I have two main single title romances. I did my Haven Point and my Hope's Crossing series. And there's 7 books in Hope's Crossing that are kind of connected, especially the first three. After that, it doesn't really matter what order you read them in, but I tend to tell people read the first three because the second and third build off of something that happened in the first one. And so it's good if people can read those. And then Hope's Crossing was a spinoff, or Haven Point was a spinoff of Hope's Crossing, because I created this family in like the last 4 books. And there was one brother who I needed to have somewhere distant for his story. And so he moved to this little town in Idaho. And I like Idaho. I live in Utah. So I write a lot of books set in around me, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, just because that's sort of what I know the most. But and then my Christmas books, I have a Christmas book out this year that's called The December Market, which is my 75th book. So I'm really excited about it. And it is actually the second book in a series. And I would recommend, if people did not read my Christmas book last year, that they maybe try to pick that one up. It is coming out in mass market paperback again this year. So you can find it digitally. It's available all the time. But the trade paperback was out last year, and it is called Christmas at the Shelter Inn. And the book this year, The December Market, is the sister of the hero of the first book. So she does appear, and she was the best friend of the heroine. So she does appear in the first book. So if you really want the full context of her story, you might want to read that one first. You won't be lost or anything if you just pick up The December Market, because it is, it's a standalone story, but you might have better subtext if you read the first one.
Yeah. And the first one is she leaves town, comes back to town to help her sister who is pregnant and basically has to take care of the inn like any other Sweeney holiday romance. Come back to town, and it's like against my will, and it's like, oh, but everything is so wonderful here. It's just
and she kind of falls for her brother's best friend No, that's an old trope, one of my favorite tropes. Right. And they were friends. I mean, she knew him before, but never looked at him romantically until she comes back to town and sees everything through different eyes. And I loved writing that book because it's kind of one of my favorite tropes. Friends to lovers is one of my absolute favorite, but it's also, she's been traveling. She couldn't wait to leave this little town in Idaho. And for the last 10 years, she's been traveling. She makes her job as a digital nomad. She's an editor, but she can work anywhere. So she travels all over and house sits and pet sits for people and things like that. So I love the idea of her coming back, coming home, trying to figure out this is actually what I'm looking for. I still love the travel part of it, but I love home too. And I really am writing that kind of story.
So what is it like to write Christmas books? Because I'm assuming you're not writing them during holiday season. You're writing them on the off season just to get ready. What's the process? Do you like listen to Christmas music? Do you watch some Hallmark movies? Or you're like, how do you get in the mood?
All of those things. So I actually am lucky enough that my writing cycle happens to be, I'm getting ready to start my next year's Christmas book right now. Okay. So I will be writing it, at least doing the rough draft during the holiday season, which is perfect. Yeah. And then I'll have to wrap it up in the springtime. It'll be February or so before I'm done with it. So what I do, I put my Christmas tree up as soon as I start. So I'll be putting the Christmas tree in my office up probably next week when I'm traveling this week. And I'll be, as soon as I get back, I'll be putting my Christmas tree up and getting ready to start writing Christmas. I do listen to Christmas music. I used to listen to music a lot when I write. And as my writing has evolved, I guess, and maybe as I've gotten older, I need to focus. And so music tends to distract me too much. So I actually still listen to music, but I listen to like, it has to be lo-fi with no words or anything. So that's what I listen to when I'm revising. When I'm writing, I need silence because I do a kind of hybrid dictation and writing. I dictate, but I look at it on the screen as I'm dictating and then I'll type a thing that if something else comes to me. So I have to have silence for that.
Yeah.
But to get in the mood, it really, because I've written lots of Christmas books, I love writing them. And it really feels like I'm slipping back into a comfortable zone for me to write a Christmas book. I think they fit very well with my voice because I tend to write about families and about community and about caring about each other, which is all the things that people love to think about at Christmas time. And so I seem to slip quite easily back into the Christmas zone when I'm writing one. But and then I don't take the tree down until I'm done. So I won't take the tree down until February or March in my office till I'm finished doing it.
I love this. And so you're writing at least a couple books a year. So how do you process? Do you revise? You take time to revise one book and then while drafting, or how do you block it among that process? I'm just curious. Well,
so I usually am thinking about the next book as I'm wrapping up the previous book.
Okay.
This particular, the book I'm starting right now, I did not have, I know the heroine and I've thought that part, but I don't have anything else. So I'm starting.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm actually going to kind of take this week off. I just finished on Thursday of my last book.
Yeah.
And it was pretty intense and I had a lot of family stuff going on at the same time. So getting that done was like a miracle. It feels like, it's like a miracle that I got it done, but I will spend probably a week thinking about it and plotting it, trying to come up with a hero. I like to plot very much. If you want to know the process, I'm very much a plotter. And so I will have it pretty roughed out in terms of I pretty much know scene by scene what's going to happen. And I can change that as we go along. But I like to know that because it helps me have a roadmap for the book. And then when I sit down to write every day, I know, okay, this is what I got to do. I know whose point of view this scene is going to be. I know what needs to happen for the story arc and the romance arc, things like that. And so I'm a very intensive plotter. I'm also very lucky enough that I plot with friends sometimes.
Yeah.
Usually one book a year, I plot with friends and we go to beach house in San Diego in the wintertime and
hang
out and eat and talk and have a great time, laugh and help plot each other's books. So everybody brings an idea and we send the idea out to everybody ahead of time so they can look at it. And then they help us come up with different plots that we can do to move the story forward. So it's great. Anybody that's a writer, I really highly recommend it, especially, but I recommend that you get people that are kind of the same, writing the same kind of things, but maybe not exactly what you're writing. So like I write with a dear friend who writes more romantic comedy. So she helps me bring the comedy elements. I sort of help her with the more emotional. That's sort of my forte is all the emotional intensity of the scenes. And so, and then we've got a couple other friends that are so good at figuring out women's fiction and things like that.
Yeah.
And so it works really well if you get the right.
That's like a brilliant idea. I think it's also nice to have a community that you can bounce ideas and when you're stuck in the problem or the idea, like sometimes, sometimes the shower works and sometimes you just like sleep it off and sell or go for a walk. But sometimes it's just having someone to just like send a voice note or call and be like, hey, here's that issue. Let's figure things out. And having that space of like an escape to go socialize and spend time with friends and help you. It's a work business.
Oh, good. It really is. And it energizes all of us. I think we come back really excited from it. We couldn't do it during COVID. So we just did Zoom. And that can be successful. I mean, if you're all spread out and you can't get together, we found it all really, really very helpful. But it's better if you're in person because a lot of the fun happens at night when you're all done working. When we work really hard, we have two full days of plotting and everybody gets half a day. And it's a lot of work and we're tired at the end, but it's really fun to hang out and just talk about our lives and things like that. But I do recommend it just because I've written 75 books. At this point, I've written every story I ever wanted to tell. In order for me to keep bringing my reader something fresh and new and original, sometimes I need other perspectives from people who maybe have a different life experience than I do and can offer, they watch different shows than I do, or they have had something happen to them that's very different from me. And so it does help my books. I feel like it helps my books to be stronger than if I were doing it on my own.
And can we expect for book 76? Like, I'm assuming this is the summer release. So talk to us like, if you give us a teaser so that we know, okay, we can go. Or are we going to look forward next 2025?
So it's my longest book ever. It's kind of there's a dual story. It's not a dual timeline, but it's kind of a dual story. So it's about basically the opening line is the day she died, Connolly had just finished firing her latest intern. So this woman has a cardiac arrest in her office and she's brought back to life by this assistant that she was just firing. In the middle of firing, and it turns out there's a secret between the two of them, which comes out really early in the book. So I can tell you, they're half sisters. She doesn't know. June doesn't know that they're half sisters. And so the other sister had gone there to meet her, to get to know her, to sort of find out. She finds out about midway through the book that her dad was this famous author that she loved. Her mother had loved this famous author, obviously, because she had a baby by him, but she didn't know. And so it's kind of a mystery about what tore those two lovers apart. And then these two sisters coming together. And then, of course, this woman dealing with the fact that she's got this congenital heart issue that she didn't know about. She's very healthy. She's an athlete. She didn't know that she had this heart rhythm issue. And so it's her dealing with that as well. So it's called The Lost Book of First Loves. And so they're looking for a manuscript. Their father had just died 6 months earlier, so she never got to meet him. But she thinks that he wrote this manuscript years ago. And so she's trying to find it, not knowing that it's about his relationship with her mother. So it's kind of
this is very exciting. I'm like, now I just want to be summer 2025.
I know. Yeah. Coming out, I think, in June. I don't know exactly the release date, but
it's all good. So be on the lookout. But you have 75 books for us to dive into in the backlist, which is a healthy backlist that gives you, have Small Town, you got some Road to Suspense if you want to go to your earlier books. But then you have your women's fiction and then your Christmas romances, which is perfect.
I do like to add the caveat to people who are just discovering me that my books are, I would say, I don't like the term, but they're on the sweet. There's not a lot of intimacy in my stories, but my earlier books were not like that. They were a little spicier. I wouldn't say they were ever super spicy, but if you only want nothing like that, then you need to read my later books. If you're okay with that, you can read some of their books.
That's even perfect. So thank you for making that comment. I think it's important to. So it depends on their reader, depends on their taste, depends on where they are. Some readers are very passionate about having them. So it is all good. So you have a spectrum there to offer.
Right. And I get comments on both sides. I get comments from people who say, I love that I don't have to skip over a lot in your books. Yeah. And other people who say, I don't need more sex.
You need more spice.
They're sensual, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tension definitely between the hero and the heroine. It's always there underlying the story, but I like to keep the door closed.
It is all good. Thank you, Rhianne, for being in the show.
That was a delight. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thanks for listening to The What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit thewhattoreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.